Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most. This is Rose Unplugged.
All of you out there know that Mike Lindell and MyPillow have been part of this cancel culture. So they want to make up for not being in the big stores, those box stores and shopping channels, to get the word out about how many hundreds of products that they have that you might not even know about. They're having this $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, yep, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, $25. Go to MyPillow.com and make sure that you use promo code ROSE. MyPillow.com, promo code ROSE. And when you do, you will get free shipping on your entire order. Joining us today on this episode of Rose Unplugged, I've got two great guests. I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from them. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of ground to cover. First, I'd like to introduce to you Jordan Fischetti. Jordan is the Immigration Policy Fellow for Americans for Prosperity. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rose.
Emily Green is also here with us. She is the Deputy State Director here in Pennsylvania for Americans for Prosperity. Emily, it's good to see you.
It's so good to see you. Thanks so much for having us.
We have worked together, Jordan. I'm sure she told you. We've worked together before on presidential campaigns. I mean, you name it, we did it. And it was always fun to be with you, Emily. You're a great, great person to work with. A lot of energy, and I love that. All right, so let's talk about Americans for Prosperity. You guys are kicking butt. I love it. At an event, we had Ashley speak, representing Americans for Prosperity. She introduced us to Bidenomics.com, and everyone in the room just started laughing. They thought, this was great. You bought the website, and we're going to talk more about Bidenomics.com in this segment. We're not going to start with that, but I just have to say, I love it. I love that you were on top of that, and you got that URL before anybody else could. That was brilliant. So Emily, let's start with you real quick too, because one of the things that you and I were talking about off mic was immigration and how every state, we're here in Pennsylvania, Jordan, I know you're in Virginia, but it doesn't really matter where you live, where you're listening from, every state has become a border state. Let's talk about that.
Exactly. Well, Rose, thank you again so much for having us. You know, as we said, every state is a border state. And I think over the course of President Biden's 4 years in office, just about 4 years in office, we have seen this crisis get worse and worse. This is not relegated to just the southern border. This is across the Commonwealth here in Pennsylvania. We're seeing that in our national security and you know, public safety here. So I had the opportunity through Americans for Prosperity Foundation to see what's actually happening on the southern border. And it's, I will tell you, nothing like what you see when you turn on the local news or the national news.
What's different?
There are very much times where you're standing on the Rio and it's calm, it's peaceful. There are other times if you go miles down the river, you will see just absolute threats to our national security. And it really does differ depending on where you're at and the time of year. But ultimately, it just made it more real for me as someone who lives just outside of Philadelphia, right, and not really impacted, or so I thought, by our immigration issues. But it made it real for me, and it made it connect that we need to do better. President Biden needs to do better.
Yeah. And that's fascinating that you had the opportunity to see firsthand what's happening on our border. One of my frequent guests, Jordan, is Tom Homan, who was former ICE. And he, of course, Donald Trump has already said to him, you're coming back. I don't care what your answer is to that. I'm telling you, you're coming back. And Tom, you know, he told me the last time I saw him that if we don't, Jordan, do something about this soon, we may never recover from this. It's going to be difficult enough to recover from what we have already experienced at the border. If it goes on any longer, there is no coming back.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way right now because we just haven't seen these numbers ever before, right? Like you look at apprehensions under Trump's presidency, under Obama's presidency, right, you're getting usually on average about 400,000 to 500,000 a year. You did have a surge year in 2019, actually, where you had about 850,000. But now we're seeing like 2 million a year, right?
It's crazy.
And that's not counting the Godaways. So one of the analogies that I used to always do with people, and unfortunately I didn't calculate before coming here, is I like to talk about like a nearby sports stadium and how many like people would have to like be in that stadium for them to see the same number of people that have crossed the southern border. I'm going to try. I'm going to assume that the Pittsburgh Pirates has a capacity of about 40,000, because most baseball stadiums do. So with the 40,000 capacity, right? And let's say full capacity for every game. Do you want to guess how many games it would take for that stadium to see the same number of people that have been apprehended, keyword apprehended,
right,
at the southern border since Biden took office?
Tell
take
us.
A guess.
I don't even know. I can't begin. I peaked at fourth grade math, so all these number problems are too much for me. But
I peaked around seventh grade. So would you guess it's like a 50 games, 100 games, or higher than that?
At least 100.
172.
Really?
About that, yeah. So that's actually, I was in Kansas a couple days ago, and that's based on the capacity of Kauffman Stadium, which is 39,000. So again, I can't do that quick math in my head, so it might be more like 170. But that's including apprehensions, right? There's also people that get away.
Right.
They're known as gotaways, and which we're not very creative with names. There's also people that give up, and guess what we call them?
Give up. Sir.
There we go. Exactly, yeah. But if you include the known gotaways, that number would be something more like 215, 220 games. So we're talking like, let's say 80 home games a season, right? Like almost three seasons of riveting Pirates baseball. And it's just, I don't
did
want to even.
Did you say riveting?
I okay. did. Sorry. I don't like any baseball games, really. But I think that's just people don't realize that, right? But people, you know, they've been in a stadium and they think, well, it's a full stadium. That's a lot of people. Now imagine this over 200 times. You can't really imagine that.
No, you really can't.
It's crazy. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And I think that when we talk about gotaways especially, we don't know who is in that group. Let's take that 2 million number. Let's say there's just 10%. How about just 1% of the 2 million that mean us harm?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty risky business here. And that really does put us, as Emily suggested, in a really vulnerable position. It truly does.
That's what I would always say is that, like, look, there's something almost about 2 million gotaways since Biden took office. Are they all bad? Of course not. Are some? Of course. In fact, we know that at least one is. There was a murder of a U.S. citizen in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a couple weeks back. It was a guy who was deported, and he snuck back in. He was a gotaway. Again, this is how I liken it, right? You want people to come on visas.
Yes.
To me, coming on a visa is as if, like, look, you told me you're going to be at my house in a month at this time. That's great. If you're not going to come on a visa, we'd like for you to come through a port of entry. I don't know the exact number. Cool. There's somewhere like 50 to 100 of those along the southern border. And essentially, that's somebody knocking on your front door. You didn't know they were going to come most of the time, but they're knocking on your front door. That's nice. Then you've got the people that go between the ports of entry, but then give themselves up. I liken that to people who have like jumped over your fence and are like, hey, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm here. Suboptimal, obviously, but like not the worst thing. But gotaways are people that literally snuck into your house and they're somewhere in your house. Most of them probably just want to help you cook and clean, right? But a couple of them want to hurt you. And that's scary.
Yeah.
And I don't see how anybody, regardless of what side of the political spectrum they're on, can't see that. And I will say something that's given me a lot of hope with this is I've talked to a lot of people on the right, a lot of people on the left. Most of my family's on the left. And they seem to agree with 99% of what I say.
Yeah, I think it's all in the delivery, honestly, Emily and Jordan, because when we really stop and talk, and that's what I noticed about Americans for Prosperity, they have conversations with people. They're talking to people about their paychecks, about how far those paychecks are going. We end up with more month than we do paycheck in the end. And it's been difficult, and we're going to get to that too. And before we move on to that, I did want to mention too, in terms of immigration, it's going to determine how we district in the future. Because you have, you know, I had someone ask me the other day, well, why do you think they're all going to like Chicago's and New York's and so forth? Because those are already heavily Democrat areas for the most part, and they are sanctuary cities, of course. But when we do a census and we determine how many people are in these districts, that is going to greatly affect, you know, any kind of redistricting in the future. And that is going to skew the electoral vote. It really is. There's no doubt about it that we're going to run into that. Let's talk about the economy, because, again, as I mentioned earlier, you've got that URL, Bidenomics.com. Hilarious. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, it's so funny, Rose, because President Biden is so excited about his economic plan. He thinks it's a winning plan. I disagree entirely, and I know a lot of my family as well lean left. They're not buying this. Pennsylvanians are not feeling that this economy is helping them. They're feeling the detrimental impact. And last week, President Biden was in three times. That marks, what, the 1,500th time he's been in this calendar year. He knows how important the Keystone State is to his victory next year.
Yes.
So we're just kind of sick and tired of him parachuting into Pennsylvania, feeding a bad bill of goods and leaving. And that's what Bidenomics exists to do, is to show him, or show this population of Pennsylvanians, there's a better way. It doesn't have to be through government. It can be through removing governmental barriers to opportunity. And we just love that he was negligent enough to not purchase that URL.
Yeah, that blew my mind. That brought a lot of laughter from the crowd when Ashley was speaking the other day. And Jordan, when we talk about the economy, you know, the thing is that people are struggling right now. They are really, really struggling. But it still blows my mind that they can still say that they get behind Biden. And I think because they hate Trump so much that they won't even consider their future, their children's future. We know now that young people can't buy homes. They're renting. They can't live even the way that we did myself, the way I lived when I was their age. I felt like I was living a much more prosperous time when I was their age. So I'm very concerned about the future, and I do love that you are pointing this out. What are some of the strongest points that you make through Bidenomics?
So first of all, right now, I'm just imagining Biden parachuting into Pennsylvania, like eating an ice cream cone.
I love it.
So I'm trying to erase that image from my head. But one of the things, too, I mean, with like Bidenomics is food prices have gone up,
yes.
Right? And there's a variety of reasons for that. But one reason that people are not really discussing is that Biden's making it more difficult for farmers to hire people legally.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So there's a program called the H-2A program, and that is seasonal farm workers. So this allows American farmers to hire usually Mexican, though they're trying to expand it more into Central America and South America, farm workers to come up for a season, sometimes a couple of seasons, maybe in a row, but it's seasonal. The purpose of this is for them to work, make some money, go back home, and enrich their community. So it really helps everybody.
Right.
They end up making much higher wages when they're here. In fact, the way that the wage is determined makes it so that the wage in pretty much every state is actually above the minimum wage of that state and always well above the federal minimum wage. So federal minimum wage is $7.25, right? For H-2A farm workers, their wages are anywhere from like $13 to $21 an hour. So they're doing pretty good, much better than they are back home. And a lot of people, they want to take those skills, they want to take that money back home, invest into their community. And in fact, we have seen this. We saw this in the past with a program called the Bracero Program, where farmers directly hired Mexican laborers. They went home, and according to Myra Flores, ex-congresswoman, the areas that they came back to are now some of the richest parts of Mexico.
Wow, that's great.
So they come here, right? And they work, where they do jobs that Americans do not want to do. I want to make that very clear. Right. So I remember listening to a speech from Ron Johnson, senator of Wisconsin, and he's talking about how there was this survey in North Carolina, I think, where they had like 800 opening positions. Guess how many Americans applied?
How many?
Two.
What?
Two. And that's the people are experiencing all across the country. Americans don't go to school, think, I want to cut lettuce when I'm older. I want to be a farmer.
Right.
So it's just not something that they want to do, right? But Biden has it in his mind, right, that this is something that Americans want to do. So he's passed these regulations that has made it extremely costly for farmers. Yeah. Now, even before he came into office, it could cost like $10,000 to do an application.
Landscapers, too, by the way, other jobs like that, they relied heavily on those.
That's workers. H-2B. That's a non-agricultural seasonal.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
And on a recent border trip, we actually had a H-2A employer and an H-2B employer.
Did you?
We did, yeah. A guy named Chalmers Carr, Titan Farm, South Carolina, and Gray Delaney. He's a Seasonal Employment Alliance. It's a group of H-2B employers. And these are like pretty like right-wing people. They're both going to at least ostensibly vote for Trump, right? These are not left-wing people, but they understand the need for this labor. But let me tell you what Biden has done. Biden looked at the situation, said, this is costly. you've got to pay something like $10,000 an application. The wages you have to pay them are actually pretty high. You guys are barely making money. Hold my beer. How can I make this worse?
Yeah.
A bunch of regulations, and I'll go over one right now. It's called an adverse effect wage rate regulation. What it essentially says is if you got a bunch of people, right, doing farming most of the day, but then one of them has to drive a truck either to storage or needs to drive the employees down to the field, a truck driver or a chauffeur in this case ends up making more money, right? So even though he only does it for maybe like, what, 1/20th, 1/30th of the day, you have to pay him for the entire contract, the wages of a truck driver. But not just him. You have to pay every single person on the contract, everybody that he's driving down to the farm, that same wage. And how do you get these wages? Well, think about it. Where do chauffeurs operate? Do they operate in the country where there's farms? Or do they operate closer to the cities?
Right.
So all of a sudden, let's say you're in upstate New York, you got apple farmers, right? All of a sudden, your apple farmers just became New York City chauffeurs. And 65% of farmers have said, look, if this stays in effect, I'm not going to do this anymore.
They can't do it anymore.
No, and guess what happens? Well, either they shut down or they need to hire illegally. And if they shut down, food prices are already high.
Yeah.
They're just going to get higher.
So people don't, I think people don't realize that what's going on right now. And I don't want to say that the majority of the immigrants that are coming through right now don't want to work. I'm not going to suggest that. However, I will say, where's their incentive to work if we're handing them debit cards and iPhones and everything else that we're doing for them? I mean, it's not like they are going to pick up the work that those visa employees were doing, right?
And if they do, right, they're going to get lower wages, and that's going to depress the wages of Americans that are making lower wages.
Wow.
It's a trickle-down effect that really just hurts, like, the working class.
Yeah.
But it seems to me, and it seems to a lot of people, that Biden does not really care. And to your point, like, I was an immigration lawyer for 6.5 years.
You were?
Yeah. That's actually where I got good at Spanish. I spoke before, but I got a lot better because I speak to my clients every day in Spanish. And sometimes I'd have to ask them, like, did you ever have welfare, right? Pretty much every single one of them was offended by that question.
Wow.
Like, welfare? I didn't come here to get handouts. I came here to work. Why would you ask me that? I was like, because it's right here on the form. They're like, but you know I wouldn't. I'm like, I still have to ask it. But what's happened in the last couple of years is I still think most immigrants are like that. But the composition of the immigrants has changed. When I was a lawyer, it was predominantly people from what was Northern Triangle countries. So that'd be El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, right? What we've seen since then is they're still coming, but you're also getting people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Russia, China, Colombia, Peru. They're coming from all over right now, right?
Right.
And again, I think most of the people coming here do want to work, but when you have a pull factor, like in New York, where they have a sanctuary law, where they have to house pretty much everybody, they're giving out debit cards. Oh, and unlike the previous immigrants, you don't really have the same social ties here. Like, a lot of people from Central America had family members already here, right? So before they could get a job, they could at least live with them. A lot of the newer immigrants don't. So you combine that with the fact that you've got these states and city programs that are giving them free housing, giving them welfare, giving them, you said, the prepaid debit cards. Yeah. Like, that's obviously people respond to those incentives and not in a positive way.
How is Americans for Prosperity getting the message out to people? I know that, Emily, I know you've had some events where people could come and get gas at it. You paid the difference, actually, at a price that was much lower than we currently see at the gas station. But you would actually offer that gas to people, and people have told you, thank you. You know, it's so hard for me to make ends meet. What else is Americans for Prosperity doing to get the word out about immigration, to educate people? Just right now, we just got an education, a brief education from Jordan. What all are you doing, and what do you need people to know about Americans for Prosperity? And then, Jordan, I'm going to ask you what we can do to support Americans for Prosperity.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because we are working every single day to educate people that this isn't a false choice. You don't just have to pick national security over, you know, providing opportunities for those who are so deserving of those opportunities. So we're educating with our good friend, Chief Chris Clem, who is no stranger to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He is a really great friend of the organization's. He's also a retired 20-year Border Patrol agent in Yuma, Arizona, and his perspective has taught me so much. He's bringing that perspective across the Commonwealth. So check out AmericansForProsperity.org to find out when there's an event in your area. He'll be here quite a bit. But he's working to educate and show that, yes, what's happening in Yuma and across the southern border is impacting our security here in Pennsylvania. But there's also policy changes that if Washington wanted to implement these tomorrow, they could and fight back against Biden's border crisis. So we are certainly educating in that way, and we'd love to, you know, continue to provide those opportunities across the state. I will also share, too, you know, our national security issues are, you know, an economic issue as well.
Sure.
So we're fighting back every single day against Bidenomics because Pennsylvanians aren't buying it. But they sure are paying for it. So
well,
check out Bidenomics.com to learn a little bit more. And I will also put in a plug. If you go to AmericansForProsperity.org, we have a petition that people can sign that will go right to Biden's inbox to tell him, hey, if you're going to continue to parachute into Pennsylvania, reject, you know, recount your Bidenomics stance. Like, let's reel it back in.
Yeah, that's great. Because, Jordan, I was going to say, a lot of people will say, listen, this is great what you're doing. I feel that I want to be involved somehow, but I'm not, I don't really have the resources or the ability or the time, but they can get involved if they go through Americans for Prosperity. You have a lot of opportunities there for people to weigh in, to make their voice heard. Let's talk about that.
For sure. So, I mean, as she mentioned, she was on a border trip, right? We've done five of those in the past year. Four have been in Texas, a little town called McAllen, which I'm pretty sick of by now. Another one in Yuma, Arizona, which is where we met Chief Clem, actually less than a year ago. It's hard to believe we met him less than a year ago.
I was supposed to be on that trip, but my father...
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and my father was ill, and I couldn't go. And I was so curious to see for myself, you know, the situation at the border. Thought maybe I could call Kamala when I was done and fill her in. I don't know. I was really thinking.
I'm glad you said that because I can officially say I've been to the southern border, I think, more than our vice president.
I think you can officially
that
say that.
I actually think she has been once. I was talking with Kennedy, and he's like, actually, I think she may have been there once.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm confused. She confuses me when she talks, so I'm really not sure. But anyway.
I can't get over the laugh, right?
Yeah, there's a woman that does her so perfectly on Instagram. What's her name? Blonde.
I know exactly
even,
who you're talking
even
about.
Even one of the actors, James Woods, follows her. He loves her.
Okay.
But she is so good. She does a really good job.
Yeah, and I know who you're talking about.
You do. I can't think of her name.
Good. She does that. She gets that cackle down.
Oh, everything. And okay. And all that. And I can't even get close to it. But let's talk about other ways, too, like signing petitions. They don't have to even leave their home. There are things that can show support for what Americans for Prosperity is doing.
Yeah, we're constantly sending around petitions and sending them to Congress.
Right.
Again, demanding action and action that they should be able to take, action on things that have a bipartisan consensus. We actually just did a poll, right? Republicans, Democrats, we're going to get the results in a week. We got some preliminary results. And ultimately it shows that there's a lot of consensus on things. People want there to be more personnel. It's actually not that contentious, the issue of whether or not there should be more wall. One of the things I always say is that the conversation around a wall is dominated by a false choice. People that say, oh, wall across the whole border. And the people that say, well, you can get through or over a wall, so no walls at all. It's like, well, listen to Border Patrol. And they'll actually tell you, bottom-up solutions is what we need. And that's why I think that these petitions are great. But I think that if they can come on a border trip with us or come to a local event, that's so important. Because Chief Clem will tell you, like, what Border Patrol needs to get the job done.
Oh, wow.
Congress likes the virtue signal, right? Both sides do. But Border Patrol just wants to do their job,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And when you have the conversation of people that, I'm going to use a wall as an example, but there's so many other examples, where if somebody says, oh, we got to build a wall across the whole border, or somebody says, oh, don't build a wall at all because you can go through it. Well, what Border Patrol would actually tell you is, look, we know you can go through or over a wall, but a wall is just one of many things. You need personnel, you need more people, you need infrastructure, walls and roads, and you need better technology. So that Border Patrol can actually communicate with each other from one place to another without having to rely on radio. A lot of times they've got to rely on radio instead of video feeds, which just sounds kind of crazy if your job is to chase people. And they would tell you that you need all of those working in tandem. And just because somebody can get through a wall, that's fine. Because if a wall can slow you down 5 to 10 minutes, and then a sensor can say, hey, there's somebody here cutting through the wall,
sure.
Personnel can then come and apprehend them.
Right, yeah.
And there's places you need and places you don't. A city where somebody can disappear in a second. Like in El Paso, you can disappear within 20 seconds. A wall there is great.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere, it doesn't make any sense because you're a couple days from the nearest road. There you'd want to rely on cameras and other technology right. to find people.
So much we could be doing. One thing I want to say before we wrap up, too, is that what I've noticed about Americans for Prosperity, because there are a lot of organizations out there, and they're all saying, you know, we and they do care, you know, about America. And the thing I like about Americans for Prosperity is that they actually quite literally put their money where their mouth is. They really do. And so I would encourage anyone out there listening to is to get familiar with AmericansForProsperity.org or go to Bidenomics.com, but to see what you all are doing. And if there's a way to support you, I would ask that they would, because you really are, when you do these events at gas stations and you tell people we're going to, you know, pay the difference, but you're literally putting your money where your mouth is. You care about their prosperity.
Well, and to your point, what we're doing every single day is talking with the grassroots, the people, the hardworking taxpayers who are just fed up with what Harrisburg and Washington are talking about, because it's not what's relevant to them. They hate that their gas prices are as high as they are. Before Biden took office, the national average was $2.31.
Wow.
That is not the case if you go down to Sheets down the road.
Certainly not.
And they care about the fact that grocery prices are higher, and they just feel like Harrisburg and Washington are doing nothing to...
Any state capital for that matter,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly. So we provide the opportunity for them to connect with their decision makers, whether it be their state representative or their congressperson. And it's the most rewarding job in the world because it allows us to be connected with like the issues that actually matter and hopefully provide those solutions and to be able to talk with people at the gas station. My favorite story is I talked with a woman at one of our gas station events, and she said, I can't afford to pay for the gas to drive my husband to his cancer treatments.
Oh my gosh.
Those are real stories of real Pennsylvanians who are impacted by Washington spending spree and our Harrisburg gas tax.
These are real people, Jordan. That's an amazing story. These are real people, and they are hurting. I just feel like they are tone deaf. And as you said, Emily, Jordan, in our state capitals and in our nation's capital, they are tone deaf. They have no idea. They're so cocooned. They have no idea.
I've often felt that way, too. A lot of what we're doing right now is, yeah, we're taking people to the border. We're doing these events. But we're taking activists. We're taking state legislators. We're taking media. We're taking people that can spread the word, that can have an impact. Because Washington's not going to change itself, right? As we know, politics is very downstream of culture. So what we're working on right now is to really shift the culture away from the virtue signaling and the false choices and toward actually workable solutions.
I love it. Okay, we were talking to Jordan Fischetti, Immigration Policy Fellow at Americans for Prosperity, and our very own Emily Green, who's the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity. Thank you, too. I really appreciate you both.
Thank you, Rose. It's great being here.
Take care.
Thank you.
This is Ashley Klingensmith with Americans for Prosperity. Bidenomics has been a complete disaster, and everyone knows it. Politicians responsible for Bidenomics, like Senator Bob Casey, want to blame everyone but themselves. Casey voted for all of Joe Biden's $5.5 trillion in new spending that triggered inflation, but he wants you to believe grocery stores are the real problem. Well, we've had enough and we're fighting back. We are building a movement to reverse Bidenomics and its broken promises, and that movement is called Prosperity is Possible. Prosperity is Possible advocates policies that break down the government barriers that are holding people back, making energy affordable again, and ensuring workers have the flexibility to earn a living on their terms. Join the movement for a stronger economy. Visit prosperityispossible.com. prosperityispossible.com.